Church family, guests that decided to join us this morning, I would also like to take this opportunity and say Merry Christmas to all of you. It is that time of year once again when everything around us, the decorations, people's mood, people's attitude, music is telling us that this time of year is special. Time has come to celebrate Christmas. The story of Christmas is the greatest story ever told, and the fact that it has not changed for 2,000 years. Stories in their nature change. When they travel through time, when they travel from people to people, from generation to generation, stories change and evolve. Do you know of any other story that hasn't changed for 2,000 years? When we were little, we used to play a game called telephone. You would sit in the line, and one person would stand up, and he would say a word or statement into the ear of the first person without anybody else hearing. And that word or statement would travel slowly down that line of people. At the end, the person would stand up, and he would say what he heard at the end. It was humorous to see how that statement or word evolved into something completely different. But the story of Christmas hasn't changed. It hasn't changed not because we are so good at telling the story. It is not because we do such a good job passing on the story. But it hasn't changed because it's written in the same exact book. If you look back 100 years, if you look back 1,000 years, if you look back 2,000 years into history, people celebrated the same exact story. People talked about the same exact story. Let's open up our Bibles, the book that has this story in it. But we're going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we will start with verse 1. As we are reading, please try to notice how many times Apostle John makes a mention or refers to Jesus Christ in these verses that we're going to read. John 1 from verse 1, we're going to read 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see no Mary and Joseph. We see no Bethlehem. We see no shepherds and no manger. We see no wise men, no Herod, no angels singing or praising God. We don't see any of that in John's account of Christmas. We all grew up hearing the story of Christmas. We know the story very well. And if you were to write the story of Christmas on your own, if you were just to take time and knowing how much we know today about the story of Christ's birth, what would you write? How many books can you write? How many pages can be filled with the story of Christmas? Where would you start? Where would you end that story? How much detail would you put into the story? What kind of words would you use to describe? What would you try to emphasize the most in that story? We usually read the Gospel of Luke and Matthew on Christmas. The Gospel of John shows us a different Christmas. The Gospel of Luke and Matthew show us the very human birth of an eternal God. John shows us the very eternal God that has become human. Apostle John wrote his whole gospel to lift us above this earth, to see with the eyes of spiritual eyes in the spiritual realm. John tells the story of Christmas and the physical birth of Jesus Christ in only four words. Look at verse 14 with me and look for those four words. The Word became flesh. Before we look into this verse, a few thoughts that lead us into this verse. First thought, Christmas, or the birth of Christ into this world 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, is not where the story first began. John thought it was important to tell us that the Word is eternal. It has no beginning. The first three verses that we read tell us that the Word existed before the creation of the world. John starts his gospel with the same words that our Bible starts with. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, starts with the words, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." John starts his gospel saying, "In the beginning was the Word." Before men ever stepped foot on this ground, before men breathed his first breath, before anything that we see today existed or was created, we see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was alongside his Father, and he was directly involved in the creation of the world. It says, all things came into being through him. He was the instrument by which God the Father created this earth. Apostle Paul in the Epistle of Colossians, chapter 1, 16 says, "For by him all things were created, by Jesus Christ." If we even try to imagine, it's hard for our feeble minds to imagine the majesty and the glory of the Creator coming into this world. Thinking about it makes us look so small in the picture of things. It turns out that Christmas is about Him. Christmas is not about us. We made it so much about people, but all the glory of Christmas belongs to the Creator who came into a created being. Christmas is about an eternal, everlasting, and glorious God, the Creator, coming into a temporary, fading away, dying world. This brings humility into our heart. Once we start thinking and pondering about the fact that the glorious God left his throne and came here, it brings humility and a desire to worship Him. Another thought, the Word, or Jesus Christ, as He is called here, brought life and light into the world. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Life and light. These are two main themes that the Gospel of John is written about. John puts a special emphasis on these two words. The word life is found 47 times in his gospel. The word light is found 23 times in his gospel. Apostle John starts his gospel in such a way to show us right away that the source of eternal life, the source of all goodness, is in Jesus Christ. The world that we live in today is temporary. It is a dying world. Our life on this earth is temporary. Because of our sinful nature, we will perish. Like the millions of people before us, we will leave this earth. But what John is saying, that He, Jesus Christ, is the source of eternal life. And coming into this world, that is exactly what He brought to us. He also brought light. Christmas is a celebration of light. Have you noticed? There's lights everywhere. But the light that John is talking about is the one that overcomes the world. Darkness, the world is covered in darkness. There's evil everywhere and happening all the time. There's evil happening around the world, around us, and even inside of us. The light that Jesus Christ brought was the light that can change this world, is the light that can change our inner being and all the darkness that is inside of it. Even though there's so much darkness, even though that there's so much evil, there's people in this earth that have come in contact with the light. Christians that are born of the light. It doesn't mean that we're better than other people. It just means we came in contact with the source of the eternal light. The birth of Jesus Christ brought eternal life and light into this dying world. John goes on and says, some people received him and some did not. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, just as it is today. Some accept him and some do not. Some wonder at the marvelous birth and some couldn't care less. Some are joyful. Some have the desire to come and worship, and some are bitter and mad. Some believe and some are skeptical. Have you met such people yet this season? You see two types of people. People that really want to be involved in Christmas. They want to hear the story over and over again. But then you meet people that couldn't care less. The question of receiving him, the question of Christmas, is not a question of mood. The question of Christmas is faith. It says, even to those who believe in his name, to those he gave the right to become his children. Faith makes Christmas joyful and real. It says his own did not receive him. Some people believed, as we heard today in the first sermon, some people eagerly waited for the coming Messiah. They knew the stories. Some fathers would sit their sons down and they would tell of the Messiah that is to come. Grandchildren would sit their grandparents would sit their grandchildren down and they would tell of the one who is to come. And they eagerly waited with their whole heart. But some knew the stories, but have missed the whole thing. Nothing has changed today. You can know the story, but you can miss the whole thing. It is our living faith that makes Christmas more than just a good story. It is our living faith that makes Christmas very personal and very real in our life. That is what Christmas is all about. John tells that Jesus is an eternal God. With his coming, he brought life and light. Some people accepted him and some did not. Now let's look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh. As we read the Bible, as we read the whole Bible, we'll find that God and Jesus Christ have so many different names. Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, King of Israel, Son of the Most High. All of these names are given to us to explain to us the very nature of God. It is to show us God for who he really is. He's the Prince of Peace because he's the only one that brings peace between God and men. He is Emmanuel because he is God with us and not God far away from us. And he is the Word. There has been many considerations, many talks about what this name means. John decided to call him the Word. In the book of Revelations, he calls him the Word of Life. We can talk about what this word logos meant to the Greeks. The Greeks saw the word logos as the ultimate source of reason, wisdom. They knew it was something super, and they knew it was something divine. They wanted to tap into that wisdom. They were seeking their whole life. John is telling them that Jesus Christ is that source. We can also talk about the word logos and what it meant to Hebrews. We know the book, we know the Old Testament, and we know that the word came, it says came to Isaiah, Jeremiah, and God communicated with his people through the word. Words are used for communication. God communicated to us, to people, through his Son, Jesus Christ. His life is a communication to us. If we read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, let's read together. Hebrews 1, 1 through 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in the last days, has spoken to us in his Son. In the last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. Jesus Christ coming into this world is the ultimate communication of God for us, so that we may look at him. We can see that he is just like us. He was thirsty. He was in pain just like us, and we can understand what God really is. In verse 18, chapter 1, John says, he has explained him. Jesus Christ has shown us who God is. He is the Word. It says, and dwelt among us. The literal translation of the word dwelt is he put up his tent among us. He was right in the center of us. Just like the tabernacle was in the center of the Israelites, Jesus Christ came to be in the midst, to lead his people out of the desert, to lead his people into the promised land. It says he dwelt. His presence was among us. Then it says, we saw his glory. Apostle John uses an interesting word for saw, and that is to gaze with admiration. Glimpses and flashes of God's glory were in Jesus Christ's life. If we look and follow along with John, he shows us that God wasn't just men, that God wasn't just a regular man that came to this earth. He wasn't just a prophet, but he was also God. It says, we saw his glory. And it says he was full of grace and truth. Two attributes of God that attract us as humans the most. Grace and truth. He came to the ones that were lame. He came to the ones that were weak, to the feeble, to the outcasts, to show his grace. And he also was full of truth. He told us exactly everything that we need to know about our existence, about the eternal life, about God. He was full of grace and truth. Long ago, there ruled a wise and good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know about their hardships. Often he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar and went to the homes of the poor. No one who he visited thought that he was their ruler. One time he visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him. Then he left. Later he visited the poor man and said, disclosed his identity by saying, I am your king. And the king thought the man would surely ask for a gift. But no, he said, you left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark and dreary place. You ate the coarse food. You brought gladness to my heart. You gave people gifts, but to me, you gave yourself. Right now, we have an opportunity to pray. Let's take this time as an opportunity to prepare our hearts for Christmas. As Christmas Day is approaching, let us not lose the wonder of this joyful holiday. Amen. Let's pray.